In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hope when you showed up today, somebody was in your seat. It's good to have as many of us as we could all together this morning. It's funny, we give ourselves more time, some of those of us who come early, and we still can't seem to get it together. Everything that could go a little sideways this morning in our structure seems like it has, so if we feel a little off balance, we are. I don't think it's a bad thing. But not what the message was today, that I understood it, but I do want to look at this gospel, according to Matthew, and what it reminded me of is this. Procrastinating is my specialty. I still do it. I try to do it in limited areas. So the person most affected in our community by that is Betty, our bookkeeper. I hate doing paperwork. And so she's always coming to me going, I haven't got your mileage in 3 months. Don't tell Ron. But I've been like that my whole life. Go to school, here's this project, it's due in 2 weeks, so I wait roughly 15 days to start it and try to beg a little forgiveness. I don't know how I would do it, but I could convince myself that the day was just never actually going to come. And then I got older and went to school. I went to college at 37. That wasn't working out, because strangely I had a house to take care of and children and the rest of it, and I got pretty decent at it. Then I went to seminary. And anyone who's done college level work or graduate level work most especially, each professor behaves like that is the only class you have. And they just give you impossible things to do, in my opinion, but that's someone who's lazy and procrastinates. But I learned something. I had to get this done because it was bigger than me. This whole concept of God's call and walking in His call was so much bigger than I am that I needed to be obedient, also something I'm not good at. So I would, when we got all of our information, I would go every class, of course, 16 weeks, all had due dates of a final paper, which was huge. I mean, a ridiculous amount of papers. So I set all the due dates on my calendar a week before the paper was due. And it worked. The beauty of that moment is I've discovered that professors are much more flexible. When you turn the paper in a week early, they want to talk about it. So I had all this flexibility in conversation, and my classmates, most of which were younger than I am, and they were still procrastinating as I used to when I was younger. And they'd be in total panic mode, and there was this whole joke about Brian just sits on the porch of the library as we're all the final papers are due and final exams are coming, and it's because I couldn't do both, quite frankly. I couldn't study for exams and write papers, so I got it out of the way, and I'd watch the panic. And we all kind of do it. We've seen it. Maybe you've done it. You get up to the date, and I could tell you who was doing it, who wasn't. They would disappear. I had classmates that would move into the library that was available to us 24/7, and they'd be there for 3 days. They never came home. Their wives were thrilled. Most of them had young children, so you can imagine. And I realized I get where they are, but it's just not a good place to be, because now it's panic, right? They were in panic mode. And the interesting thing is, I then reflected back on my return to the church. As a child, I understood all this stuff they were telling me was so far down the road, I really didn't need to worry about it. That was the message I received. When I returned to the church as an adult, it felt the same way, because everybody was always talking to me about the concept of going to heaven. And I think, well, I'm in my mid to late 20s when I returned to church. Going to heaven wasn't really on my radar. It's getting more so on my radar, the end of this life. But at that time, that's so far away, I don't even think about it. So at first, I just sort of procrastinated and said, yeah, well, I can always get to that Jesus stuff at a deeper level at another time because I got time. Still procrastinating. And then I started to hear things a little differently, and that's really what I want you to hear today. In this gospel according to Matthew, there's a quote from the prophet Isaiah that Jesus is fulfilling by his going to this Zebulun and Naphtali. And it says this, "The land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." And it goes on, right? "From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near.'" Oh, it's now. This thing that we've been told, perhaps, or maybe just the way we perceived it, that we do good in this life and we get to go to heaven with Jesus, what we're hearing in the gospel is, well, in case we were unaware, Jesus has come and he's going to come again. And in his coming, God incarnate, arriving in creation, this light is here. The kingdom is near. All of these things have happened already. It's not a prophecy anymore. It is a reality. And the question we have for ourselves today is, how do we respond to this reality? And I would say, interestingly enough, we see Jesus going and calling his first disciples as the next thing that happens. "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.'" Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. This concept of gathering up men and women into the kingdom of God is what he's saying to them. And here they have, in the gospel according to Matthew, they have just a wonderful response, don't they? Verse 20. "Immediately they left their nets and followed him." Immediately. I probably would have said, "When's it due?" Maybe I'd set it a week early on my calendar. No. "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. "As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them." Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. I am afraid that at some point the church got a little tired of waiting for Jesus to come back. Because all of his teachings within the gospel are always pointing to the kingdom of God. Amen? They point to this kingdom of God, and he says the kingdom of God is where and when? Here and now. It's near. It's here. He will consummate this new kingdom when he comes back, but he has initiated it already. The time to be doing the work of gathering men and women into the kingdom is now. Procrastinating isn't helpful. But I'm afraid in the waiting, the church has put this focus on life eternal with Jesus, which has become, I will be a good person, and then I will go to heaven. Because we're not 100% sure what to do, are we? Honestly, we're not. We try, and we make mistakes, and we step on each other's toes, and we do the best we can do, and we tend to make trouble for ourselves, and we make it difficult. So it's just easier to say, if I can hold it together for myself until I die, I can go to heaven. But the message is always, Jesus calls for the purpose of gathering others into the kingdom, and the expectation is the response of those he calls will be immediate. And I would say, I agree. I can also say, I did not immediately understand the concept. But at this point, I would say, God is calling. Our job, as those who have decided to follow, is clear. So let me ask you, I actually wrote a couple questions for you. Will you follow this Jesus?
Yes.
When?
Now.
Then let's go fishing.